Here's your Bracken members: Braden Gleason, Lacey Pickering, Nikita Lear, Caden Gasser, Landon Stevens, Joey Wolf, Rafael Flores, Caleb Hosier, Logan Smith. Now, here's your host, Coach Don Sony.
Welcome, everyone, to Bracket U, a college basketball bracket podcast brought to you by Delphi Bracketology. We are in our 10th year of doing bracketology, and we wish to bring you as much information as we possibly can about where your favorite team might be seated in the upcoming NCAA tournament. This podcast is for all you junkies who have March Madness all year long, but we're one day away from March, and the madness is soon to begin. I'm the coach, Brian Tonsoni. I'm the sponsor of Delphi Bracketology. We have junior Caleb Hosier with us, and we have senior editor Caden Gasser also with us, two guys who really try to dive in and understand what's going on in the brackets and help me out tremendously with trying to make the best selections. And they are going to be sharing their information this evening on Bracket U. So let's get started, fellas. Everyone wants to know who the top seeds are and what are the tough decisions with those top four seeds. And we're going to share, if you're watching live, we're going to share our spreadsheet so we can kind of share with you what decisions we're making. Right now, it's Purdue, overall number one, Connecticut, number two, Houston, number three. Might be some movement in there a little bit as well as Houston is playing. And then the tough decision is who is the last number one. We currently have Arizona, but you can make an argument for North Carolina, probably Tennessee as well. Those three teams are going to vie for that last number one. Caden, we'll come to you first as we pop up this spreadsheet. What do you think about that last number one? Is it Arizona, North Carolina, or Tennessee? Or what does each one of those have that is the strength that might move them up to that one seed line?
I'm looking at them, and I feel like Arizona and North Carolina are really close, and they could really flip-flop, especially with you could flip between the quad one wins, 8-3 for Arizona, 7-4 for North Carolina. You got the road, 6-3 Arizona, 7-2 North Carolina. They're both evenly matched, same record. North Carolina has a little bit better of strength of schedule, but Arizona has the non-conference strength of schedule.
And, yeah, it's really razor thin. Arizona took a tough loss last week at home. Not a tough loss, but a loss to another quality team, but they were still favored to win. And so that kind of brought the resumes closer together. And there's some games. North Carolina has a chance against Duke to really boost them up. Coming to you, Caleb, when it looks at this decision, and I think you have two teams that are razor thin, as Gasser just said, Caden said, Arizona, North Carolina. Any other thoughts about those three teams from you?
Not really. I think it's Arizona that takes that last spot just because their wins look a lot better and their strength of schedule really helps with that.
Yeah,
so I think I agree with Caden.
Let's see here what Arizona has as far as – you got to go to quality wins as well. Arizona has beaten Alabama, Duke, and Michigan State and Colorado. They have four quad 1A wins on the road. And road wins matter too. North Carolina, a little bit lower in the net, they have wins at home against 5-13 and on the road against 23 Clemson. So I think the top-level wins, being neutral or on the road, tip it for me for Arizona. But, fellas, I want to talk a little bit about Tennessee. They picked up a nice win yesterday against Auburn, and they play against Alabama as well, the number six team in the net. That's another top-end quality win, and that will be on the road. If they can pick that up, I think Tennessee might have to enter the discussion. Caleb, am I crazy or not?
No. I think that they should definitely be looked at being one of the last spots, but I think it's so close, it's really hard to tell if it's them, North Carolina, or Arizona.
Yeah, I think they struggle a little bit in the numbers if you just look pure numbers, but they have a great strength of schedule. They have a net at five. Caden, any chance that you see Tennessee moving up?
I mean, they really do have a good chance if you look deeper than into the numbers. Like, straight looking at quad one, it's 5-5. Doesn't look as good as 8-3 and 7-4. But you go deeper, you see that they're only two of their games are not 1A games, which is really good for Tennessee, playing amazing teams and still producing those 5-1s.
I think it's a three-team race. I think Marquette lost to UConn by, 20 points. They may have an outside shot. I think Kansas is without one of their starters, McCullough. They've started playing poorly. I'm not sure he's coming back. I think their results will maybe struggle. So there you have it. That's the one seed debate. We have a debate on the two seed line with the Kansas Jayhawks. They have not played well down the stretch, and they are minus a player, which the committee does take into account. But we have Iowa State sitting at 22-6 on the season record-wise, and Kansas at 20-7. Iowa State is our top three seed team with a net of 8. Kansas has a net of 17, and their records are somewhat close. Coming to you, Caleb, are we needing to move Kansas even further down, or is it a wait and see for you?
I think we need to maybe wait just because see how they respond with losing that player and see if they can pick up good wins in their last three, or I don't know how many games they have left right now. But I think Iowa State has a really good shot at getting past them and getting to the two seed.
Yeah. Alabama even might, if they beat Tennessee, although they only have 3 quad one wins, so I'm not sold on Alabama moving up to the two seed line. Kansas has great wins. They have really won a lot of solid games. That's what's keeping them on the two seed line, for me at least. Caden, your thoughts on Kansas versus Iowa State?
I'm really leaning Kansas staying up there, especially with how many quad 1A games they have. 5 quad 1A wins. And plus, we just talked about how they're losing their player. They're still losing to really good teams when they lose. They're getting a rematch against Kansas State, which is one of their poorer games. They lost in overtime, 70-75. And then they pick up Houston and Baylor away, which will both be good games. I feel like if they can produce in those games, then they're really going to stick right there.
The Big 12 has been a topic of conversation about gaming the net from a lot of people, that they've played really bad non-conference schedules. Kansas has not. Kansas has a 40 non-conference schedule strength. Iowa State does have a 331, and I think if it comes down to a tiebreaker, I think the committee will go with the team who scheduled tougher teams in the non-conference and maybe downgrade the Big 12 teams a little bit if they took an easy route. That remains to be seen. I still think Kansas belongs on that because of what they've done, but they are definitely something we have to watch. If they lose to Baylor and Houston and don't play well without McCullough, I think then you're going to look at a team like Iowa State, and some bracketologists have already made that jump and moved Iowa State up. We also have a tough decision on the 3-4 cut line, and this is how tight these teams are. And the reason we look at the cut line, because in the scoring system in the bracket matrix, you get points for being on the correct seed line. And so we really look at the bottom three and the top four to see if there's any difference to move them to try to be more accurate. Right now it's Creighton and Baylor. Creighton at 12 on the net, Baylor at 14. And that is razor thin as well. Both have good, strong schedules, with Baylor being in the Big 12 and Creighton being in the Big East. Caden Gasser, Creighton was not on the reveal, so they weren't in the top four about 14 days ago. It'll be 2 weeks ago this Saturday. They've won some big games since then and taken a loss. Baylor also had lost 2 in a row and then bounced back with the key win this week. So Baylor was a 3. We've moved them down to 4. Creighton was like a 5, discussed by the committee. We've moved them up all the way to 3. Have we gone too far? Do we need to put Baylor back on the 3 seed line? Caden, you're first.
I really feel like you lean either way. Baylor has more 1A games, better games to play against teams. But Creighton also has been putting on a show lately with winning over Connecticut, taking a tough loss to St. John's, but they also beat Butler and they lost to Providence, but they beat Xavier, which are both good games. Baylor has not beaten a lot of people. They've mostly lost in their quad one, going 6-7 in quad one. But you look at the road, Creighton has played a lot more. They're 7-5, which looks better for them when Baylor's 4-4, but Baylor hasn't played that many road games. They have more neutral games, which are far less worthwhile in the committee's eyes, I think.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me. The numbers alone say Creighton. Baylor, again, this is where we have our meeting a week from in a week or two that we have our deep meeting. But we'll look past the numbers on the spreadsheet. If you're watching live, you see our spreadsheet up there. We start off with the numbers and do number comparisons, and then you dive into more metrics that are on the team sheets. And so this is going to be one where we're going to have to analyze who they beat and what that strength is. But Creighton and Baylor are really close. Caleb, do you see a strength or a weakness in any of these two teams?
I mean, I like Baylor more just because they have the second strength of schedule and their quality of wins looks better and their losses look better than the ones that Creighton has. Those two extra quad one losses I think is better than the two quad twos.
You know, you bring up a great point there with sometimes we look at 6-7 and see it's under 500 against quad one, but is it better to lose to good teams than it is to the second category? You might be onto something here. Baylor has beaten 7, neutral Auburn, 8, Iowa State, 10, BYU at home, and 38 TCU on the road. Those are their quad 1A wins, 4 quad 1A wins. And then Creighton only has 2, and they're both at home. So that there's a, you know, we have, and this is what's great for you guys listening live or on the audio podcast. This is why a committee really is good. We have one person who says Creighton and one person who says Baylor, and then we will really look to dive in. And that's what the committee does. There's 12 members of the committee. Someone will present Creighton's case. Someone will present Baylor, and then it goes to a vote. And there are certain numbers. I don't know the exact numbers, but when they're scrubbing a team, moving up or down, it might just be a majority vote. 7, if you get 7 or 8 votes, I think there's a certain threshold of number of votes to move a team up. It might be even 9 to get a majority people. If they think the team below is better, they vote 9, boom, they move up. We really have to think here going forward, and when we're done tonight, I may take a look at that as well and have to break the tie between our two awesome bracketologists in here between Creighton and Baylor. And our last top seed debate that we're going to share with you this evening is the cut line on the 4-5 seed line. Illinois scored 105 points last night against Minnesota, and unbelievable. They also gave up 90-plus, so their efficiency numbers kind of stayed the same, good offense, bad defense. But we have Illinois as the last 4 seed, and pushing hard is the Kentucky Wildcats. Caleb, what do you see there between those two teams with Illinois 16 in the net, Kentucky 19, very close numbers all the way across the board? Who do you favor in this decision?
I think I have to go with Kentucky because Illinois hasn't really won the big games that really have mattered for them because they've lost to Purdue, Tennessee, Marquette, and Michigan State, one of those being home, but all 3 were away. Then with Kentucky, they beat Bama, Auburn, North Carolina, Mississippi State, and Florida, which are all a lot better wins than the ones that Illinois has, even though they do have that extra loss. But I think that just those quality wins really – boost them.
All right, so we have one vote for Kentucky coming to you, Caden Gasser. Kentucky or Illinois for the last 4 seed line?
I like Kentucky, but Kentucky really scares me recently. They pick up a good win against Auburn, great win, net beat 7 net. Then they drop one to LSU, an 89 net. Then they pick it back up with a game against Alabama, winning that, and then a Mississippi State. They've dropped random games For the most part. I mean, they're good teams they're losing to, except LSU was kind of their worst one. But they need to pick it up and win some of these games. Illinois doesn't have the quad 1A wins, doesn't have very many quad 1 wins in general. But I'm really kind of going to stick with what we have right now until I can trust Kentucky not to drop a couple more slots just because they're losing to teams they shouldn't lose to.
So if you're watching live or listening, I am now making a change live. Caden wanted to stay the same but gave great reasons to make the change with a little bit of caution, and Caleb made a great decision and convinced me that I think Kentucky moves up to our 4 seed line. And the difference is the both of you guys said the lack of 1A wins by Illinois. I think that that is vital. Now, what might happen is Illinois and Kentucky might both be on that 4 seed line, and a team like San Diego State or Auburn, Auburn lost a chance for a big win the other night. So, you know, and then I do want to call out one of our members, Joey Wolf, who does a lot of great work on the spreadsheet for us. He's in here. He's the one making all the comments. If you see the live chat, he does a lot of research for us, and he does point out that Kentucky has a quad 3 loss and Illinois does not, and that could be the difference in keeping an Illinois up. So I'm going to – you're not going to see this if you're listening to the audio, but Joey, put in the chat, who do you think, Illinois or Kentucky, who's your vote, and see if we maybe change that back. But I do think Kentucky has – better wins, and I still think this gig, guys, is about who you beat. I still think that's very, very important over anything else. And Kentucky has beaten more quality teams despite that quad 3 loss. Okay, you're listening to the Bracket U podcast from Delphi Bracketology. We got some high school geniuses in here, and Caleb and Caden. Caden's been with us for 4 years. Caleb is in his first year, and I'm going to just brag about Caleb. He has done outstanding work in his first year of diving in and doing work outside of our meetings on his own and really getting up to speed with this information. And that's what we like about this club is when someone dives all the way in. And Caden created the opening intro music and graphics. He's just done a nice job. He's part of our TV show. If you want more of this, every Tuesday we do a live studio broadcast with ISC Sports, and that comes out on social media and YouTube. You can go back and see our commentary from this Tuesday, and likely I'll have a guest probably I'll be working on for a podcast on Monday for another edition of Bracket U, as we are 2 weeks away from Selection Sunday. So those are debates on the top 4 seed line. All of those teams are going to get in. There's no worry about those teams. But fellas, I want to come to you now. There's a lot of teams between that 4 and 5 seed line and the cut line on seed 11. Some teams are doing well, some teams are struggling. I'm going to give each of you a chance to discuss one team and either talk about their strengths or weaknesses, whether we have them right or wrong, or they're doing well or doing bad. You can take it anywhere you want, and then the rest of us can comment off of your selections. Caleb, I'm coming to you. Which team that we have in the bracket would you like to discuss this evening?
I think Michigan State.
All right, fire away. What do you got?
Oh, just fine. I need to pull it up. Looking at their quad one games, it's not as good as the teams around them, it seems like, because they only have one of the quad A, or yeah, the A quad one wins against Baylor earlier on in the season. Then they've lost to teams like Minnesota, Northwestern, Nebraska, and Wisconsin in there. And just looking around at other teams, seems like they have better quality wins. Then they also have the 11 losses stacking up on them now. And they also play Purdue in the future at home, and that doesn't look too good for them.
Yeah, that's at Purdue, right? Because Caleb's our Purdue guy, Caden is our Wisconsin guy, and I'm that other program down south here in Indiana that's not doing very well. But yeah, that likely to take another loss and be 17-12. Michigan State's tough to they have a 24 net, which means they've played well analytically, offense and defensive efficiency. Their numbers are acceptable to be in. I think Michigan State's in. It's just, where are they going to be? Are they going to be 9, 10, 11, or are they going to be 7 and 8? Last year, they were 33 in the net and had double-digit losses and snuck in as a 7 seed, and I think a lot of us had them as an 8 seed. So this is something that, fellas, we really have to spend some time on. We have them currently as the last 8 seed, which kind of splits the difference between where they could be. The best they could be is a 7, because our 7 seed line is really, really weak. But I think, Caleb, you picked up what's the struggle for me this year as opposed to last year in looking for trends is I don't think they have enough good wins. The one Baylor win is nice, but I don't know if it's enough. When we start comparing Michigan State or Mississippi State above them, Texas Tech, Colorado State, they've won games in the tournament. So I could see Michigan State falling anywhere between 7 and 10, but I think they're might going to be on a little bit lower. Caden, your thoughts about Caleb's Michigan State Spartans?
Sorry, I couldn't find the unmute button. Michigan State, the Spartans kind of scared me at the beginning of the season when we had them in, and they were 1-6 in quad one. I feel like they've kind of jumped up a lot more than they were at the beginning of the season. I know it's kind of controversial, but they have put up a couple good games, including – who did they play recently? My bad.
They've lost a couple in a row, I know. Ohio State, they lost late. They lost a big lead and lost late at home.
Yeah. But they had a couple good wins, including Baylor, which is one of our – that was earlier this year. But recently they did lose against Minnesota, but they beat Illinois, which is a great team we have in the Big Ten. They beat them by 8 or so. So
Baylor and Illinois prop up their resume. So keep watching that. We'll have to make a decision here in the next 2 weeks. Caden, coming back to you, what team 5 through 12 do you want to talk about?
I want to talk badly about my Badgers. They've been going on a really bad losing streak recently, losing 6 out of 8 games in their past 8 games, including a – recently, awful loss to your Indiana Hoosiers. Then you got Michigan and Rutgers, which are also bottom tier Big Ten teams, which should not be losing to. They were starting out really hot this season. What we have them at a 3 or 2 at some point.
We had them up at a 2 at some point. Yes.
Yeah. So they're looking good, but now they drop down. They're playing worst teams and losing at the beginning of the season. They're playing pretty good teams. They may have a chance here. My mouse is not working. They may have a chance here when they play. When they play Illinois.
Yeah.
And then they play Rutgers for a revenge game that they should hopefully win. And then a big game against Purdue, which is their final game of the season.
So we've dropped them all the way down to a 6. We tell everyone all the time that it's a body of work, but I do think there have been some times in the past few years where teams have really lost a lot of games in a row. Xavier was dropped out of the tournament. I thought had a resume that should get in a few years ago, and they lost 5 out of 6 down the stretch. Iowa, like 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, was a 2 seed in the reveal and fell all the way down like to a 7 or 8, maybe even worse. So your Badgers are in desperate need here to stop that negativity. I still think they're safely in and are going to be in the tournament. It's just, where are they going to be seated? I think most people probably have them on the 5 or the 6 seed line. Caleb, coming to you on Wisconsin, have we dropped them too far, or are they in a good spot here at the 6 seed, given that they are now 18-10 and the teams around them have 5, 6, 7, 8 losses? They're still pretty high for their large number of losses because they have 7 quad 1 wins and 5 quad 2 wins. Are they in the right spot, or do we need to move them up or down?
With how they've been playing recently, with losing all those bad games, I really think is going to eventually make them drop quite a bit down. But the 7 quad one wins is really looking good against the other teams, with like South Carolina having 3, Dayton having 3, and their strength of schedule looks really good.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with them now at the 6 seed line, because I think our 5 seed line of Illinois, BYU, Clemson, and Washington State has played better basketball all the way through the season, so we're comfortable there. But, man, they need to win, I think, a couple games, 2 out of the 3, to maintain that 6 seed and not fall any further. But their 7, their 12 quad 1 and 2 wins prop up some of their losses, and they scheduled strong. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them back – towards the 5 line at some point if they do get some of those wins. But excellent choices, fellas. Let's move to the final segment of our show, and that is the bubble. Everyone wants to know who's in and who's not in. And, man, this is flip a coin. The bubble team has taken a lot of hits recently. Teams that need wins are losing, and it's hard to decide who's in and who's not. We have our last 4 in just for discussion purposes, and we're open to change it right here live on the show if we have to. We have Seton Hall, Gonzaga, Villanova, and Colorado as our last 4 teams in. I don't like Colorado. If you guys want to kick them out, we can. But we have Providence, Wake Forest, St. John's, who I saw live at Butler last night, Utah. And then for our Iowa fans, we have Iowa, Oregon, Kansas State, Memphis, who is playing on TV right now as our next 4 out. So those 8 teams. Caleb, coming to you, this is just a flip of the coin. Every day we meet second period history. If we don't want to talk about our homework or subject, we can talk basketball. And we can probably put a team in every night and a team out every night. But your thoughts about the 4 teams we have in, where do you want to go? A team that should stay in, or a team that should go out? You can go any way you want, Caleb. Who are you talking about?
I think that Providence should probably be in over Colorado.
And why?
Colorado only has 1 quad one win versus Providence having 5. And strength of schedule is better, too. Providence has a lot better of quality wins, I think.
Yeah, the thing going for Providence is their 5 quality wins. Caden, let's talk about Providence. Do you think Providence should be in or out?
I really do think Providence should be in, but what also scares me is that 29 net.
Of Colorado, right?
The 29 net for Colorado. I don't want to take them out right now because of that 29 net. I talk about this net a lot, but the 20s, they're always in the tournament. You can't find, as long as I've been here, you can't find a tournament that a 20 has been out. So that kind of worries me. But Providence does deserve to be in with that 5-7, 3-3. They kind of remind me of Michigan State. Michigan State's just in a bigger conference. So they're kind of getting that little leeway there.
Yeah. Caden, we've talked about this on the TV show. We talk about this on a lot of things. And I had a mistake on the nets there on the spreadsheet. Wake Forest is a 27, and we have them out. The trend for our listeners is no team under 30 net has been left out. And that is offensive, defensive metric. You have to look at the strength of schedule and the strength of record. Villanova, Gonzaga has the 22nd best non-conference strength of schedule. On the team sheet, there is something called strength of record, and I do think that really impacts the committee because it talks about the quality of your results against the teams on your schedule. We don't have that here on the spreadsheet, so this is where we're going to have to do a deep dive on these as well to look at other metrics. When you get down to the last 4, it's not just quad one wins, it's not just the net, it's not just road record. It is a combination of all of those, and put that package together. So, I think Providence should be in. Their question for me, though, is the injury. They are 7-8 since they've had a major injury. They've had 2 nice wins against teams, but most of their wins are coming against the teams in the bottom of their conference since the injury. And when you have a bubble that is strong, meaning there are a lot of quality teams, especially with teams in the 20s and 30s, is the committee going to look at that and say, number-wise, Providence deserves to be in? And there's no doubt, Providence is the best team that we have out that should be in number-wise. But I do worry that their 7-8 record without Bryce Hopkins is something the committee might have to decide. Have they done enough since that injury to show that they're a tournament team? Because that's the team who's going to play. Hopkins is not coming back. You have the same thing with Kansas, a seed line or two difference with McCullough. If they get information about him not being out, that makes Kansas a whole different team than what they did in earning all of their wins. So I am not sold on Providence. Wake Forest is another team with a very good net, but not enough wins. They are 1-4 in quad one and 5-6 in quad two, including a road loss to Notre Dame after getting a big win from Duke. We did talk about, and our listeners do need to understand too, the quad system's arbitrary. Florida was a 30 3 days ago, which was a quad one win for Wake Forest, and so they had two. Then they dropped to a 33, and that takes away a quad one win. The committee knows that Wake Forest has another good win. It's against Florida. It's just some days they're 30, some days they're 31 or 32. Wake Forest is another team. We had them in after they beat Duke because they got their signature win, and it's a really good win. That's Providence. Caden, coming to you, a team in or out that you want to talk about here on our bubble.
He kind of just took them away from me. Wake Forest, they're like they keep jumping the line. They go up because we think they should for that net, and then they get a win kind of proving themselves, and they drop. Game to Notre Dame, and that Florida loss comes after them. That kind of drops them back out for us. I feel like they could go back in, but it's going to be hard to put them over anyone up here. I mean, Colorado hasn't beaten anybody, really. They beat Washington, which very soon could easily drop out of the quad one win and leave them with zero quad one wins. Then you got Villanova. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I didn't really realize Colorado doesn't have very many wins at all. They have Washington State and Utah. Utah's not in. They only have one or two possible tournament team wins. I don't think that's worthy. So
net really confuses me on that.
Yeah. I think, going back to the trends, I think this is the year a team in the 20s gets left out. And I just think that's the way the season is breaking down. I don't know that you can just I know the net is not just the absolute. You got to have wins. And I think Wake Forest and Colorado are teams that have played well and close games but do not have the quality wins. I would like to see the committee do that because I think you got to beat people. So I think this is the year we see that trend. We had a trend that nothing over the 70s was broken. We've had a couple teams, St. John's a couple years ago, and then Rutgers. So the trend of no team 70 or above has been broken. I think this year you're going to see the trend of teams in the 20s getting left out. We're going to go ahead and put Providence back in for now. And this sets up an interesting thing as we end the show. If you're watching again, we're changing the spreadsheet. We're moving Providence back in after our discussion tonight, and we're going to put Colorado as the first team out and continue to watch. If they pick up a good win, and I don't know what I just did, but I totally blew up the whole spreadsheet, I think. So let me go back. Yeah. I don't know what I did there. All right, so here's the interesting thing. The last two teams we have in are Villanova and Providence. They play Saturday. So I think one of those teams is going to fall back out simply because they're going to beat up on each other, especially if Colorado or Wake Forest or St. John's. I saw St. John's last night before we end the show. I think St. John's is a team to watch. Rick Pitino really got on them a couple games ago, have a three-game winning streak. They are 40 in the net, 17-12 overall. 3-9 is not good in quad one, but 6-2, so they are 9-11 with the quad three loss. Got work to do, but man, there's some of these teams are going to need to make a nice run to maybe get themselves in. So good discussion, fellas. We've made a couple changes, and for those of you who are listening live, this is how it goes. Only we have 9 or 10 people in a meeting, and sometimes down here in the man cave, We get good information from everyone, and then we put it together and make a decision. And we have a lot of those decisions coming forward. Caleb, going to you. Let's your last call. You want to talk about your Boilers, or you want to talk about anything on the sheet? Your last call for tonight.
I don't really have anything to say. Can't think of anything.
Well, that's a good last call. All right, Caden, back to you.
Villanova and Providence are kind of really close, and I know we just talked about them, but that game will be big. I think when it gets this close at the bottom, I think that versus each other can come in to play. And whoever wins, like you said, could stay in, and the other one could drop out for one of the 20s that we have, Wake Forest or Colorado. It's just going to be a battle late in the season.
I think I'm not sold on Gonzaga. Gonzaga plays San Francisco tonight on the road. They need that game, and then Gonzaga plays St. Mary's. If Gonzaga loses one of those two, I think they fall out. If they lose both of them, they are definitely out and will have to struggle to get back into the tournament. There's another 20. Like, we have four 20s that could be out of the tournament. They've played well offensively and defensively, but they haven't beaten anyone. We'll see what the committee values here in a couple of weeks, but it makes our decision difficult when you have other teams that have a lot of wins on that bubble. That'll do it for this episode of Bracket U. You can find us at DelphiBracketology.com. We're putting out information. We'll have conference previews next week. We have bubble conversation, all kinds of things like that. Game reports when we're covering games. We'll be at the Michigan State-Purdue game. We'll be at Purdue-Illinois next Tuesday. We have been credentialed for the Horizon Tournament semifinals, and we're going to take some other people down as fans. So a lot of things going on here at Delphi Bracketology. Again, Twitter is another place. If you want to have individual questions, we'll try to answer the questions. That's at Delphi Brackets on Twitter. So thank you for tuning in today or on any kind of podcast that you listen to. Let us know what you think. For Caleb Hosier, Caden Gasser, I'm Brian Tonsoni. Thanks for watching.